Okay. There's a, we'll be mocked in with a vort in Parshas Vayira. We are, I guess, a week and a half away or so. But it's one that I think can help frame a discussion that we're going to try to have. So it tells us in the beginning of Parshas Vayira that Ribbono Shel says, I revealed myself to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Rashi has a comment. It's a comment of Rashi, which is, I think, often looked over. Rashi says, El Ha'avos. Shem says, I'm revealing myself to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Rashi says, El Ha'avos. So some of the Mefarshei Rashi wonder what exactly he's trying to add there. We know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Avos. Why does Rashi have to comment El Ha'avos? So some suggest it's actually a misprint, or sorry, it's more of a, that whoever was recording Rashi, instead of writing the whole Pasuk, they just wanted to save space, so they just wrote El Ha'avos and didn't write out El Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There is, however, a comment of the Noam Elimelech. Noam Elimelech has the following vort. It's a very, very beautiful insight, and it's one that I think is remarkably profound. Just Noam Elimelech, that Rashi is trying to convey there a very simple insight about the nature of the different Avos. Each of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, worshipped the Ribbono Shel Olam in a different way. That Avram's path in worship was one of chesed. Avram was the one who was machnes orchim. Avram was the one who was always out there and welcoming people. Avram was the person associated with chesed. Yitzchak was the person associated with gevura. Yitzchak had his own pathway for how he was going to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Yitzchak's did not look like Avraham's. And Yaakov's the third of the Avos, he also, Tferes, MS, whatever you want to define it, Yaakov also had his own pathway. And one could suspect that these different pathways are actually, there's a hierarchy, which is better and which is worse? Which is the best way to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam, and which is the worst way to worship? So says Noam Melech, that's what Rashi meant to comment. El Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, El Ha'avos. Not to get too caught up in who each one was, but says in Noam Elimelech from Rashi, in the end of the day, Avram and his avoda, and Yitzchak and his avoda, and Yaakov and his avoda, but they were all avos. And the Ribbono Shel Olam understood that as long as they were worship him, the way that they were meant to worship him, as long as they did it the way they were supposed to, they're all equal. So Rashi meant, suggests Noam Elimelech to include them all together. That despite all the differences, despite all the unique elements, El Ha'avos, they are on some level all one. They all have the same ultimate goal, and they can all be respected. We can all be mocked of them as such. That gives us a degree of background, that vort in Parshas Vayera, for what is a amazing, amazing insight of Rabbi Chaimer. It's in the Likutei Amachachma in the first Chelek in page 212. It originally comes from Parshas Vayera, Tafshin Ayin Hey, where Rabbi Chaimer has the following suggestion. You can take it. It's a comment of the Baal Tanya. Baal Tanya points out in the Siddur that when people start worshiping Hashem, I think this is so relevant to like year in Israel type things, not that we weren't worshiping Hashem beforehand, but this problem is so, it's so astute. The Baal Tanya says that when people start worshiping Ribbono Shel Olam, you know what often happens? They get very put off and they can become very bothered by those who worship Hashem in a way that is different than them. That if I have a particular style or brand of worshiping Ribbono Shel Olam, and other people have a different style, that I can find it, not just that it's okay, it's his style, but there's something about it which bothers me. It's mafrida la'avoda shel hasheni. It bothers me in a real and profound way. So if the way that I daven is I'm a little bit of a quiet davener, and I like to sit there, and the guy next to me is either loud because he thinks he's in Carlin, you know, his mom is just yelling, davening like crazy, it can happen, or, and maybe he's more of like a, you know, kolos mosai tomar Hashem, I'm supposed to say, like, oh, he's just like, you know, he's flowing, you know, back and forth. Or it's Friday night davening, and they're doing their, you know, their Mizmor LeDavid L'Chadodi singing. And my mahalach is that I am, I like to sit here, I enjoy it, I sit back, I listen, it's very nice. The other guy's like, going crazy. So sometimes the guy who's like me looks at the guy who's going crazy, you know, getting too intense, it's like, what's he doing? Stop, you know, like, just be normal. What are you doing? You know, like, control yourself. The guy that's really into it is like, why are the angry chevra all the way standing on the side? You know, why can't anyone just like give them a hug and pick them up a little bit? They're probably complaining about the dikduk in our wordless niggin right now. You know, like what's wrong with them? You know, there's like that. And everyone, we can get very flustered by that. And if I'm a guy that loves halacha lemaisa, not just that I want to learn halacha lemaisa, like it bothers me that like more people don't. And there's a certain kind of issue sometimes where when you're starting out, according to Baal Tanya, Shematzay Eitzel Ovdei Hashem Tzchilas Avodasam, so Ovdei Tzavodah Shal Echad Mafriya LaAvodah Shal Sheni, that everyone who has an avoda different than mine, it eats away at me and it bothers me a little bit that he's not. There's something off about that. The Noam HaMelech taught us that Klapi, the Rabbono Sholem, he's not caught up in those things. That the Rabbono Sholem is not caught up in the, oh, Avram, it's different than Yitzhak. They get along very, very nicely. Kibitzhak, Kikari L'Chazara, even though they were a little bit different, they really are able to get along in a nice and meaningful way, in a way which really works. But how do you contend with this? How does one elevate beyond this? How does it not bother me if you're worshiping Hashem one way, I'm right a different way? This guy dresses one way. That's his form of avoda, and it's not my way to dress. And it bothers me a little bit. Either I say, oh my God, he's so fake, or I say, oh my gosh, he's so whatever. Now, there's different ways of it. How do I get to that point? So Richard Meyer here speaks about a Torah, which is very, very big and one that's important. Often, if other people's avodas are bothering me, it is a sign of a degree of narrowness. It's a sign that I'm still small and limited. Because from my perspective and my vantage point, the place that I am located, I am only able to see the way I worship Hashem. I can't fathom having the capacity or the appreciation for how some could worship differently. And from my vantage point, you doing it your way and you doing it your way is so off-putting. So it isn't just that I want the space for me to be worshiping Hashem in my way, but it pains me that you're not doing it the way that I think. Because from my narrow perspective, the more narrow you are, the less tolerant you are of something which looks a little bit different. But says Richard Meyer, that a person who's able to elevate himself, when a person is bigger, when a person is broader, when a person is not caught up in the narishkeit of their own specific little kind of a thing, but they're able to identify in a broader sense, they're bigger. So then when I look around, I don't see people that are doing anything wrong. Then when I look around, I can appreciate how different avodas really contribute in a very, very beautiful way. It's all a question. It's all a question of perspective. It's all a question of perspective. It's like the mushal I would give is like if you work a camp sometimes. So you have this a lot. You have this a lot. If you work in camp and like you work, let's say you work in the art room or you work as sports staff, and your job is essentially that you are involved with sports all day long. And let's say that you're really invested in camp. You're really super invested. That you really are committed. You believe in this place. I've been going to this camp for 15 years. I believe in it a lot. I want it to succeed. I want it to thrive. And you're working as, you know, as sports staff in that camp. So what happens in that moment is you can be so caught up in it that you can appreciate the value of sports staff and you can appreciate the value of sports. Sports is so important for the camp. But what happens is sometimes that when if they ever, let's say they cancel sports for some other kind of a program or kids don't come to sports, you can get so worked up over the fact that they haven't come because sports is so important because from my vantage point, from where I sit and what I do, this is the most critical thing. This impacts the summer so much. I see the kids that are being part of sports. It's such a great time. I see how it teaches them how to be able to work with others. I see how it teaches them how to lose. I see how it teaches them how to build camaraderie, teamwork, and relationships. I look back at my life and some of the relationships I have were people that I played with, but I played ball with. And you look at it from that perspective. And the same thing can be on the other end. You have that person who's a lifeguard who says, you know what? One of the primary goals in the summer, it's where I found my greatest hobby. I love to go swimming. An instructional swim is that time when you're opening up doors for people, where people that they're going to learn how to be able to swim. It's such a good tova for them. You know, they're going to be able to later in life to do such great things. They could be lifeguards. I may even be saving lives as part of this process. And it's so each person from their own vantage point. The person who's bigger, the head of that camp, isn't caught up in just sports, isn't caught up in just swim. He's able to say what makes the camp wonderful is that there's a sports program, and there's a swimming program, and there's an art program, and there are shiurim, of course. He's able to see it from that angle. You're able to see it from that perspective. And when you're able to see it from that angle, suddenly things become increasingly beautiful. Suddenly some of the things that I thought were not that great end up actually being great. And some of the things that I thought were more problematic, I can now appreciate for the toelas that they have. And that all comes on some level from a certain kind of appreciation for what the skills are and for different people's particular kind of an avoda. Maybe God is bigger than my narrowness. Maybe God is bigger than my smallness. Maybe you can appreciate different people that come together. That derech agav Because in the past, Rav Joy Rosenfeld often points out, is one of the Iker Torahs of Rav Itcher Meyer. One of the Iker Torahs of Rav Itcher Meyer is that that which looks like a machlokas need not always be hyper-focused in on as being these machloksim that can never come together. That the Gra can understand something one way, and the Baal Tanya a different way, and the Rashash a different way, and Rabbi Nachman another way, and they can come together in a very beautiful way if you're big enough. If you're big enough. That if a person can be large enough to look from on top, like that camp, you know, sort of programming director, if a person has the capacity to do so, so then they can be very, very big. Rav Itcher Meyer writes here, which is an intriguing idea, there's a reason why, the same way in the beginning of a person's avoda, that's important to be able to identify the value of other people. He said that's pshat in the Torah's Ha'ari. That the Ha'ari understands that before davening, what's the person supposed to do? Be mekabel upon themselves, be haftal arecha kamocha. And let's dig a little bit deeper. Why is haftal arecha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah? Why is it that being able to identify you and to like you and respect you, why is that a klal which is gadol b'Torah? Why is that so fundamental and it's so important? And part of it becomes, if there isn't that element of Yahav Reha Kamocha, you are by definition narrow in a way in which you'll never be able to really succeed as much. Where we can be narrow in a way where it's just about me, and part of Yahav Reha Kamocha teaches me how to appreciate others. It is, as Richard Meyer points out, this is the Torah of Ezu Chacham, Halomid Mikol Adam. That part of being able to be lo-made mikol adam is not to be lo-made from all those that do the exact same thing that I do, or lo-made, but it's lo-made from those who are different than me, who have a different form of avoda than is the form of avoda which I have. And he says, v'lechein yesh inyan sha'ani, shubachinus ha'kli yeh rachav ma'od, besod harom mas'atzmi, to build yourself into the kind of kli, which is big enough to include within it the beauty of a world which can spread a little bit, to include within me, to be able for me to be big enough to appreciate how there are those who worship the Ribbono Shel Olam in one way, and there are those who worship Ribbono Shel Olam in a different way. That it can all be there. And this is Richard Meyer in a different piece, that the Yetzirah's primary task knows a person who can recognize the avoda of other people, and a person that can get chizuk, that can respect, that can be inspired by what other people do, that person can be truly excellent. And one who can't will always be limited. The Yetzer Hara knows what is the best way to get someone. The best way to get someone, Yetzer Hara Iker Avodasa, Limala Mikol HaAvodas. The Iker Inyan, the Iker Avod of the Yetzer Hara, Sheyesh LaHachti Yes Yisrael. What's the sin? The Yetzer Hara is looking for those sins that mess us up most. For those sins that will preclude us from being able to be as successful as possible. So what is that sin? La'asos Pirud Levavos Bein HaYehudim. That if you can break up Jews, if you can have them get into its own internal discord, you've won. Because if I can't learn from him, so that means that I'm always going to be limited by who I am. And if I apostle him, I'll never learn from him. And I'm always going to be on some level limited. But says Rav Itcher Meyer, and here's an important idea we say it all the time, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim are Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. What's Pshat Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? It's Talmidei Chachamim who have the ability, who are big enough to not get caught up in small machloksim. They're the ones who are big enough to say, El Ha'avos, that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are all special. That Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov all have a form of Avoda. I'll share with you an insight right now. It's one of the more beautiful ones that Rabbi Lam, Zechron Levracha, shared. It was at a Chag HaSmicha. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable Torah, which is the way that we end davening here in Eretz Yisrael, at least. We end davening by saying as follows. We have the blessing of being able to say Ein Kol Keinu every day. In addition to Ein Kol Keinu, we say Pita Maktores. And then we finish with the following. In davening. One second, let me just... Pana Bel Yo, Kol Shon Halachas B'chol Yom, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. That we say every day in davening. During intense COVID, we were davening outside. I was davening in the beginning of 10 Sfaradim, so we would stop then, and they would learn halacha every day for like a minute or two. Rabatat would say over some halacha every day. It was awesome. It was really, really great. Next, we say, Amar Belazar Michnina, Tamei Chamin Barim Shalom Ba'olam, Shnemar B'chol Banayach Limudi Hashem. Rabbi Lam was very bothered by the juxtaposition of these two statements in davening. We say, the way Ge'olam Haba is learn halacha every day. What should have presumably followed that? A halacha or two. If you want it, learning halacha every day, so that gets you Olam Haba. So let's have in our sitter two halacha. Let's get a halacha in our sitter there. Wouldn't that be the move? And secondly, Rabbi Lam pointed out, Tamei Chamim Bar Rishalim Ba'olam, is that really so true? Haven't we brought in more machlokas than anything else, Tamei Chamim? Like, is that a descriptive fact? Tamei Chamim or Marvin Shalom Ba'olam? If we had to have a debate right now, Tamei Chamim, Marvin Shalom, question mark. Or is it so clear Tamei Chamim are always on the Marvin Shalom side? Is it so clear that it's always true? So Rabbi Lam had the following suggestion. It's a very beautiful one. You learn halacha every single day, you'll be a ben olam haba. The next statement of Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, Amar Blazar, Rabbi Chanina, was not a descriptive statement, said Rabbi Lam al derech drush. It was a halachic statement. That Talmidei Chachamim are chayev to be Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. And the more halacha that you learn, the more shalom you are responsible for bringing into this world. Maybe not everyone is always successful at it, but the real Talmidei Chachamim, they really are able to be Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. And one of the reasons why, back to Bichamai for a second, why are Talmidei Chachamim able to Marvin Shalom Ba'olam? Because the Torah they learned was not a Torah that was narrow. It wasn't a Torah that made them so small that they got so flustered when someone else was worshiping Ribono Shalom differently than them. Real Talmidei Chachamim know how to be Marvin Shalom Ba'olam. Real Talmidei Chachamim know that's part of the chiyuv of being a Talmid Chacham. It's to be able to look at and to learn from different people. If I'm developing a mahalach, I can pull it from a Ran and from a Rambam. I can pull it from a Granat and from a Reb Chaim. I can pull it from, at times, you know, certainly in the world of Rebbe Shemayer, from an Arizal and a Rashash and a Reb Sternbach Tuzan Hagos and a Chassam Sofer. And it can all come together. That the big Talmidei Chachamim sometimes, each in their own way, in their own style, can bring a degree of shalom to this world. And that's what Meyer, it's true the Baal Tanya says. When people start worshiping Hashem, when you begin your avodah, anyone that worships differently than you, so sometimes that can get me flustered a little bit. And sometimes that can get me upset. And sometimes it can be off-putting. Whoa, look how he davens. Whoa, look how he learns. It's so weird. It's so this, so that. Look what he learns. Look how he dresses. Look how he behaves. And says Richard Meyer, that's only true when you're narrow and small. But the bigger that you are, the larger that you are, the ani, which is big enough to have within it more than that, never gets caught up in that narishkeit. Doesn't he's bigger than that. And he becomes part of that group of people that Chazal say are the Talmidei Chachamim who are Marvin Shalom Ba'olam. They know that the Yetzirah is just trying to get them upset in that moment. When you're davening and it annoys me, it's just the Yetzirah trying to say, you know the best way of getting you to stop davening, to get focused, to lose your focus, of getting upset about the way that he's davening. But that's the way, that's it. It'll never be able to be lomed mikol adam. So the Baruch Hashem is blessed with the capacity to be able to learn from others, to learn from others in a real way by being above it, not by being too caught up in just our small segment of things. I work on sports staff, so all I care about is sports. I work at the pool, so all I care about is the importance of, but the camp director model, who can see it from a broader perspective, how it all comes together beautifully. And that is Ve'erel Avram Yitzhak Ve'yakov El Ha'avos. That I can start seeing Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov as one, as all being equal, as all with their own avoda, having that certain kind of connection. Shkayach, have a wonderful rest of your day.